Cody, did you want to take my picture too this morning? Every time that, you know, when some of the kids do something, all the parents now have their cameras and they all take their pictures, and I'll say something almost every time. And one of these days, I'm going to be mortified because somebody's going to take my picture. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll read the first 10 verses out of 2 Corinthians 6 here in just a second. So just to keep your place there. James chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Usually, I think every time I've heard anybody explain that verse, James chapter 4, verse 14, they talk about going outside on a on a cold day, and you know, when you exhale, well, you can see your breath, you see that vapor of your breath, and it's just there just for a second or two, and then it's gone. And they say, you know, they say that's just like our life. Our life is here, and then it's just gone. Life is short. Life passes quickly. And I think that we believe that. I know, especially as we get older, we believe, boy, life is short. It's going quick. But I'm not sure that we're really convinced that we really understand exactly what that means. And the reason I say that is because we have a tendency, maybe you don't, but I do, we have a tendency to procrastinate. How many times have you ever said, one of these days, and then fill in the blank, right? One of these days, I'm going to take that trip. One of these days, I'm going to learn a second language. One of these days, I'm going to learn a new skill. One of these days, I'm going to take up that hobby. One, you know, whatever it is, we have a list. One of these days, I'm going to do that. But we don't do it today because we're going to do it one of these days. And the truth is that every day that passes, we're less and less likely to do whatever it is we're going to do one of these days. Now, maybe that doesn't matter too much for most things. I've got a couple of things that I've been saying I'm going to do one of these days. I've been saying it for about 30 years, one of these days. And I'm beginning to think that I'm never going to get it done. But it'll be all right. I mean, it won't change my life drastically. The problem is we do the same thing with spiritual things. One of these days, boy, I'm gonna teach a Sunday school class. One of these days, I'm gonna volunteer to service in the church. One of these days, I'm gonna start a personal time of daily devotions every day. I'm gonna read the Bible and pray. One of these days, I'm gonna witness to my neighbor that's lost. One of these days, I'm gonna do that. And the problem is, we do the same thing spiritually that we do with all those other one of these days things. These days just never get here. And it does make a difference when it comes to spiritual things. It is important when it comes to spiritual things. It is life changing. It matters a lot to us, and it matters to those around us. If your neighbor's lost and one of these days you're going to tell him about Jesus and you never do it and he dies, it's a dramatic difference in his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 addresses this idea of one of these days. Let's read. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "We then, as workers together with Him, that is with God, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. First is the day of salvation, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The accepted time is the age of grace. We live in the age of grace. Jesus Christ came, you know this, he came and he lived a perfect and sinless life, and then he was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. He gave himself as a sacrifice. When he made that sacrifice, he was the sacrifice for all people, for all time. He fulfilled the requirements of the law, demanding a sacrifice for sin. Then when he arose from the grave, he ushered in the age of grace. And it's in the age of grace that salvation is offered to everybody. And Paul said to the Romans, God through Paul, or to the Corinthians, Paul said, listen, now is the accepted time. This age of grace is the time to be saved today. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The implication is that one of these days he will not be near. Most people, I shouldn't say most, many people think that, listen, I'll get saved later. One of these days, I'm going to get saved. You know, when I'm young now. A lot of times young people, when we are younger, we think, oh boy, you listen, I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm well, I got things to do, places to go, people to see. I want to live my life. I want to have fun. I want to live it up. So I'll get saved one of these days, but not right now. One of these days when I get married, and maybe one of these days when I have children, well, I'll settle down and I'll get saved and I'll start serving the Lord. One of these days when I've made enough money that I can be comfortable, or one of these days when I retire, well, I'm going to get saved and I'm going to start serving the Lord. One of these days I'm going to do that. Hell is full of people who knew that they needed to be saved and who intended one of these days to get saved. But death came before those days came, and they died without Christ. You may be here this morning, and maybe you're not a Christian, and maybe you come to church fairly regularly, and you fully intend one of these days to accept Christ as your Savior. God said, today is the day of salvation. Not one of these days. Not tomorrow. Not even later on in this service. Not till the sermon ends and we have the invitation, the altar call. Today, right now, this is the time of salvation. If you're here and you're not a Christian, listen, get saved right now. Don't wait for anything else. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and he'll do it. And you can listen to the rest of this message as a child of God, as a Christian. But don't wait. One of these days generally never comes. If we're not doing it today, chances are one of these days we won't be doing it either. As a matter of fact, every day that passes, we are less and less likely to do whatever it is we plan to do one of these days. I've mentioned that many people wait to be saved, and they do. And statistics prove that those who get the older we get, the older and the older and the older we get, the less and the less likely we are to be saved. So if you're going to do it, if you fully intend to do it now. Today, right now, is the accepted time of salvation. The next thing I want us to notice is the duty of the saved. In verse 3, the Bible says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. I was reading a commentary about this particular passage, and one of the commentaries I read was John MacArthur's, and this is what he said about that verse 3. He said, the faithful ambassador of Christ does nothing to discredit his ministry, but everything he can to protect its integrity, the gospel's integrity, and God's integrity. In other words, the Christian, the one who is saved, does everything they can to be obedient to God, to be faithful to God, to serve God every day. That is the duty of the saved individual. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 says, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Conversation, manner of conversation, that's the way we live our lives, the way we act, the way we talk, the way we think, the things we do. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I know when we read that verse, boy, that just seems so impossible, doesn't it? Be ye holy. I never think of myself as being a holy person. But what the Bible commands us to do, God enables us to do. And so we can live holy lives. Matter of fact, the way we live our lives should enhance the gospel message. It shouldn't take away from the gospel message. The way we live our lives ought to attract people to Jesus Christ. It ought to attract people to Christianity. It ought to make them want what we have, and what we have is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the way we live our lives should reflect that. Now, I know I talked about, even as Christians, we put off, we one of these days, spiritual things. One of these days now, we think, I'm really going to serve God one of these days. One of these days, I'm really going to get involved in the ministry of the church. One of these days, I'm going to do that. Boy, I know there's some things that need to be done, and there's service. And God even impresses upon me sometimes and leads me sometimes to do some things. But I'm just so busy, or I'm just so tired, or whatever it might. But one of these days, come on now, we've all done it. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Not only is today the day of salvation, today is the day of service. Sometimes when you preach a message, and I don't mean to say this because I'm the one doing it, but sometimes when you preach a message, you wish you could just say the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, and people wouldn't get bored. But by saying it over and over again, you would remember it. It would be impressive to you. So I want you to hear, Christians, if you're not a Christian, this is what I want you to know. Today, right now, is the time to be saved. If you are a Christian, this is what I want you to know. Today, right now, is the time to serve God. If you're going to do it, do it now. Start today. Immediately we think, oh, well, today's Sunday, I can't do it today, but tomorrow, well, not tomorrow because it's Labor Day, but Tuesday. No, start today. Amen. See? Tell somebody. Tell the pastor. Tell your Sunday school teacher. Tell somebody, listen, I am going to, and fill in the blank. I'm going to teach a class. I'm going to work in vacation Bible school. I'm going to witness to my day. Today when I go home, I'm going to go to my next door neighbor, and I'm going to knock on the door. And before I eat lunch, I'm going to tell them about Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell them, I just came home from church, and I heard the best sermon I've ever heard in my life. Well, maybe you shouldn't say that. Do it. We wait. One of these days. I'm going to do that. One of these days. Sometimes we think, well, I can't. I can't live a holy life. It's too much. Be ye holy. Are you kidding me? I can't live the Christian life. I can't serve God. I don't know how to teach a class. I've never done it. You never walked either, but all of y'all are walking this morning. We never talked either, but all of us are talking this morning. See? There's lots of things that we've never done before that we're doing now. I've never witnessed to anybody before. I've never worked in the church. I've never volunteered for anything. I sit back there and wait, hoping nobody calls on me because we think we can't do it. But listen, we can do it. This is not a pep talk. This is the truth of Scripture. You know the Scripture, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What do you think that's in the Bible for? You think that's there so that God will enable us to run a 4-minute mile? You think it's there so that God will enable us to make straight A's and get a scholarship to college? Listen, God strengthens us to do His work. I can do all the things that God wants me to do through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's what that power is there for. The Bible even tells us how to do it. It tells us what to do. It tells us that we can do it. And then it tells us how. Verse 7. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 7. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. We can do what God wants us to do. What God requires us to do, by the way. By His word. In His word, in the Bible, is God's plan for all of mankind. And it's God's plan for us specifically. So we can do it by His word. We do it by the power of God, the Holy Spirit in us. The verse before that talked about the power of the Holy Spirit. We do it by the armor of righteousness, with the protection of the armor of righteousness, with the protection of God. That's how we do all this stuff. But I know sometimes we think, some of y'all may be sitting out there, right? Yeah, but Pastor, I just can't. I want you to listen very closely. If you think you can't, I want you to listen real close. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Now, Christian, listen very closely. If you are a Christian, you have already done that. You've already resisted the devil. You have already drawn nigh to God. When you got saved, you resisted Satan because he didn't want you to get saved. He told you, listen, do it one of these days. But you already did it, so you resisted Satan. When you came to God and asked Him to forgive you of your sins, you drew nigh to God and He drew nigh to you. You've already done it. So just keep doing it. Keep trusting the plan of God. Keep trusting the power of God. Keep trusting the protection of God and just do what you've already done. Just keep doing it every day. That brings us to the diligence of the saved and verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Approving ourselves means proving ourselves. And it's with the ing on the end of it. It's continuing action, proving ourselves. That means that we keep demonstrating the power of God and the presence of God in our lives by continuing to obey Him, continuing to serve Him, continuing to be faithful, continuing to show His love for others. I'm not talking about keeping your salvation. I'm talking about serving God. The diligence of the saved. We do it diligently. We just keep doing it every minute of every day and until we come to the last minute of the last day of our lives. In verses 4 through 10, I'm not going to take the time to read those, but Paul lists some things that we'll face as Christians, and some of them aren't good things. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be distresses. There's going to be persecutions. There are going to be times when people are critical of us just because we're Christians. There are going to be times when people hate us just because we're Christians. They might not even know us, but they know we're a Christian, so they don't like us. That's going to happen. As a matter of fact, it's going to happen more and more and more. But listen, God still loves us. God is still with us. God is still working all things for our eternal good. It's our duty to be diligent in our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, the Bible says, these are the words of Jesus. He said, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He that diligently stays with it shall be saved. In Revelation, I think it's probably chapters 3 and 4 of Revelation, maybe chapter 2 and 3, but if there are seven letters to the churches of Revelation. And if you'll read each of those seven letters, there's an observation about the church and how they're doing. Sometimes there's criticism, sometimes there's congratulations. And then there's an encouragement to the churches, to the people in the churches, to the Christians in those churches. There's encouragement to them to stay with it. Times are tough, but stay with it. And then there's a promise in all seven of those letters. And the promise is to him that overcometh. And then there are all kinds of promises that are listed. To him that overcometh. to those that endure to the end, heaven waits. Now, I know that's daunting, isn't it? You mean I have to live a holy life for the rest of my life? You mean I have to serve God for the rest of my life? You mean that I have to start today and forget one of these days and do it every day? And how in the world am I going to do that? Well, we're going to do that the same way we serve God, by His Word and by His power and with His protection. Listen, Christianity is not rocket science. It's very simple. Right now, today, at this moment, we confess our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive us, because today is the day of salvation. Right now. And then right now, at this moment, we give ourselves freely to His service. Whatever He wants us to do, whenever He wants us to do it, however He wants us to do it, we say, okay, I'm going to do it. We make that commitment. I'm going to do it. And then we do it. We don't wait. We start. And then, by His power, we continue with that service until our life ends. And then we enjoy the blessings of heaven for all of eternity. It is a great privilege to be in service to God. And if you aren't actively, diligently serving God right now, would you start right now, today, right this minute? Give yourselves to the service. Don't wait for one of these days. One of these days is some kind of magical time, but it never comes. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, and you haven't already done it, if you've waited already these 15 minutes, whatever it was, don't wait any longer. Every day that passes, whether it's for salvation or whether it's for service or whether it's for learning that language or for whatever it is that you're going to do one of these days, every day that passes, we are less and less and less likely to do it. Would you stand with me this morning? I think we'll just have Shara play this morning quietly with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. One of these days, will probably never come. And it absolutely will never come if you don't start today, right now. You come while Sheriff plays.